Strategically, bring its chatter into speaking about the flesh, and don't want to do that before the break. And you know what I mean? Then bring them. Chapter. Start in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through you, through the Spirit, you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have received the Spirit of bondage again, the fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we, the children of God, the children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified. When you look at the book of Romans in chapter 8, and you just look at verses 1 through 17, you will see in the King James Version of me that the word Spirit appears 15 times in just 17 verses. The word flesh will appear 13 times in just 17 verses. Not just talking about the 17 verses. The theme, it's not really identical to what you said. And I think God wanted it that way. We've been looking at grace and law, and He thanked God for grace. I can be done with my day, every day, and thank God for His grace. Because if I'm honest with myself, and I'm honest with anybody else, I think I'm thankful for grace. Thankful for grace, because I fall so short of this glory. The problem in the way I see it, the problem I see at large in the body of Christ is this misunderstanding and therefore a misinterpretation and therefore a misapplication of grace is that everybody wants to be forgiven. Praise the Lord. That's exactly what happened when you got saved. All sins past, present, and you do not want to take care of their needs. And we praise. When we fall short, He forgives. If at one point after salvation, there's something that the loss of salvation, I didn't quite understand it. I didn't somebody, I can't see it, but there are people. Here's the problem, that any second of my salvation in the kingdom of God is dependent on what I do. The doors of heaven must be shut to me, because I'm still saved. Paul called himself the chief of all things.
And you know, as ironic as it is, the more you're saved, the more you realize how much of a sinner you are. You would think it would get easier when you get away with this, but even the smallest sins that were invisible when the earth got saved were important. It becomes clear that we don't deserve a second. If it wasn't for the shed of the Jesus. So the misinterpretation of grace is this. We're under grace. And because we're under grace, somehow it becomes a certificate for living as we please. And we dare do things that we probably shouldn't, and in any other circumstance. We don't practice self-control in a second. We answer people any which way we want, without showing kindness, without showing love, without showing long suffering, without showing patience. And we think that we can get away with that, but we can't just because of Jesus. You see, because there is something within you that tells you loudly if you are walking in the Spirit that what you do. You can't just talk to anybody in your family. You can't lose your temper every time you want to lose your temper. You can't steal. You can't kill, which means you can't raise your fist at the moment you left in 76. We have to conduct ourselves in this world where people see us. That they see Jesus. Grace is not an excuse for not doing that. It's imperative. And I think the church is going to be this custom. The gospel never loses its power. Because the gospel is the power of God and the salvation of you. So it's not the gospel that's going to lead you. Maybe our life is not as bright and shiny as it used to be. That's just being a good system. So, the one thing that is consistently holding you back is this war that rages within each and every one of us. The Spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh against the Spirit. These two are contrary to one another, constantly hooking it up in your loyalty. Constantly contrary to one another, for your purpose, so that you may not do what you. So you see, grace doesn't excuse our responsibility to live in a way that people see what we see. We must be different. Now, if you're anything like me, it drives me insane. It drives me nuts when I speak to somebody in a way that they should not be spoken. Even if they deserve it, I deserve it. I'm going to give it to me. Why cannot I extend the same grace and no suffering and patience and kindness to somebody else between the flesh? And only surrender to my flesh more often than I do.
I hate it. Because the very first verse that we're going over today, verse 12 says, therefore, we are doomed not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. You all your life, nothing. It's never done anything good for me. It's never done anything good for me. You all your life, zero. When you look at this particular verse, it's almost like the verse is missing half of it. Because when you're damaged to the flesh, you would think that it would say, believe in heaven to the Spirit. You know, it would have been nice. God did that person. Why? So you can think about that statement. You hold nothing to the flesh. I mean, we're talking about flesh and the Spirit, and you don't hold anything to the Spirit, then guess who you belong to? It's logical. We are supposed to be submissive and surrendering to the power of the Spirit every day. But God is not some cosmic rapist that will make you do whatever He wants you to do and bring you into heaven against your will. It's not in Him. God gives us the resource that we need to be like His Son, Jesus Christ. Because we need it. Our flesh is so tricky, so deceptive, that if we don't think about every action, every second of the day, you can rest assured that at one point in time, you're going to put yourself in bondage in the flesh. And for a moment, you're going to do it. We have to be so mindful of the presence of the Holy Spirit that we become forgetful. But it's great that we think about our flesh more than we think about the Holy Spirit. That's straight up true. If I spend more time in God, the presence of His Holy Spirit every moment of the day, before the conversation, before the team's meeting, before the voice of the sovereign, because it's something that they can't do. If I need to stop and just ask God for a nature of His Spirit for just one moment, in that case, it would be so much more enjoyable. Because I would be living in the home of the Holy Spirit of God. We have to. And God, you know, every time He asks you to do something, He gives you not only the resource to do it, but He gives you the step-by-step in the whole thing. He's so good to us. He's held nothing back. Nothing. In Galatians chapter 5, He tells us, He gives us the fruit basket, right? He tells us what we should be. But He also tells you what you shouldn't. In Galatians chapter 5, you need the works of the flesh. First, this is you, and this is you. This is you without the Spirit. This is you with the Spirit. This is you when you walk in the flesh. This is when you walk in the Spirit. It's crystal clear. Every believer have those verses. Now, it's memory. Because you're constantly going to see the war.
I mean,
if the Romans took a vacation, maybe it would be there. You know what? These Sundays, that would be amazing. But it doesn't. I don't know about you, but the war is for Christ, and the closer Sunday gets, oh, flesh just goes. Your thoughts, your desires, your passions, your love, your disregard for the word of God, the lack of prayer, everything. Listen, if you find it is easier to displease them than it is to please them. And yet, God has given us everything in our spiritual tool.
to do it. So what's the blame?
Right?
Choice. God is not going to remove that from you. You want to honor God. It's not enough that you do what God tells you to do because He commands it. It's true, for sure. But how much more honoring is it that I do what God wants me to do because I and want to please Him? I want to do something to put a smile on my father's face. That even when you're a kid and there's nothing with you, you know, the only one coming here and you gleefully and joyfully bring it to your dad.
He says those words that you hear in your ears. He's giving you all resources, right? He's provided your home, he's provided your bedroom, he's provided your clothes, you go to school, all the rest of it, you go to your private school, some of these things. Some of us are homeschooled, but dad's always allowed to be to get the job done and get the job done. So one day, you will hear, well, and be soon. But you can't wait till you get to heaven to want to hear that. You want to hear that every day. You want to live in the Spirit in such a way that you're hearing that. No, you're making God happy. No, where is grace to me? You're going to fall for that in your faith. It's going to be a condition. You this side of heaven, but you are going to see. And grace is when you get to that. You understand that God is not to believe that you love your sonship status with God. Grace says you are covered. That is nice to have Jesus die for your sin. That is nice to know. That is important to know. It will keep me working with God day by day. Because if I can go and I will go and you have God so many times that I will give up, that's the best of hope that I will ever come to Jesus because His Son has already been. So, what are your compassion? Nothing. So, that might be so much better. What do we know with our flesh? I said, we owe Him everything. I said, we owe Him but every corner of your life. And He took me. I remember the other day, every time you get a call, usually when you get a call, it's like, you know, it can get you a call in the college because they money. And so when He calls me, you know, get some counseling here. And he starts telling me about, you know, it's like, he said, what's this happening? I said, the same reason. That's not the reason. It doesn't change. And so I used to break a 24-hour day in the evening. And they show him, okay, this is your secret here. This is your personal experience. This is what a gym is. And then all these sizes are filled out, and then it's a little teeny size, you know, that if you put up these, it's that's his Bible study is pretty. And I'm like, look at the pot and tell me what you see. It's not home. We give ourselves and we become habitually used to giving ourselves. It's not hard to happen. If it was difficult for us to go back into the book, why in 17 verses when he mentioned the flesh 13 times? Just went to Romans chapter 7 and said it's real. The word is real. There's so much that I do want to do, but I keep doing the things that I do because he understands the word. And so it happens to him, and it's part of what happens to us. And the reason it does is because we say yes to the book. You cannot say yes to the book.
every single time you have to make a choice. When you say yes to the Spirit, you have told the Holy Ghost no. I will not surrender to you. I will not obey you. Because Richie's going to do what Richie wants to do.
You won't say even words like that, of course. You certainly won't reason that you might, but of course, and you know why? Because that's another trick of the flesh. He makes you think that you have to. He makes you believe that this is the most reasonable response. Told him. Speak to somebody the way you should, speak to your wife, to your husband, some way that you should. Do you know you're right? Later. All I'm saying is that you begin to convince yourself that this is the move that you're going to make. Your flesh is aligned. As a matter of fact, God said in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10, that your heart is deceitful. It is wicked. People ask me that sometimes, well, what about your heart? So now, trust me, not for a second, because God says it is a deceit. Your heart, and you're following your heart, you know that you're going to be. His word, and follow Jesus, and follow the Spirit, and you. So what do we owe the flesh? Nada. Zero. Nothing. In Romans chapter 18, it says, if we live after the flesh, you shall die. You want to know one of the first things about this, not the verse, but our understanding of the verse. Because this is a spiritual truth. We don't see the physical ramifications around it. Because if God told you, if you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die on the spot. And he told you, if you buy this, you're going to stop combust. You're going to explode right when you stand. Drinks. Your flesh says, it's Christ. That's a bad understanding. Bad interpretation. Sure, interpretation of the grace of Jesus Christ. That is the flesh. One measure. Is the devil going to take care of you? Yes. The father of God? Yes. He's got bigger things. And his demons, though. And they will do whatever they have to do to make sure that you trust in your flesh and in the Holy Spirit. Nothing more dangerous to the horde of hell than the spirit of the Christian. That what he has in his mind is the grace of Christ and the glory of the glory of Jesus. That is constantly tapping into the resource of the Holy Spirit only because of Jesus. You make yourself inseparable to the Holy Spirit. Even temptations, they can become the devil. You want to be the Teflon down to sin? You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ so he doesn't stay. You have got to train the flesh. No. No is a word. My dog understands what no means. I say no. He just backs up. You know, can you imagine if that's how he responded to him? Every time God says, you shall not. Here, I have people. Fear. fear of the Lord, we saw them say of the kingdom, they come. The Spirit. It's a plan. The Spirit of the Lord is not in the name. They can't be taken away from you. It's the Savior. It'll be a blame. It's not. The Holy Spirit is God. You know, there's so many things attributed to the Holy Spirit that's just plain falsely, shaking the ground, speaking kind of crazy things, all kinds of crazy things. Things that the Holy Spirit never said was. But the very one thing that the Holy Spirit is that when you are a believer walking by the Spirit, will live. Here it's clear. It says, if you walk in the flesh, you will die. You know, when God says it, it doesn't mean a whole lot. When God says you've got 2 months to live, all of a sudden, your life changes. You get your affairs in order, you're saying, you find the people there every day, and the birds sing a little sweetly, the trees sway a little better, wind smells good, water tastes better, you're just enjoying every single day, because in every 3 months, you are going to die. And God says, if you will come to the sin does good. He believes. You can be saved. You can get into yourself involved in a sexual relationship. Sexually transmitted disease. Drugs. No. It's suicide. What I'm saying is, just because you know, you lie and you don't you know, do all the things the very second, does not mean that he's in dying. It becomes easier and easier every time we say yes to the Spirit and yes to the flesh. That is spiritual. Instead of living for Christ and being a bright beacon of light in a dark world that desperately needs a Savior, we become invisible. And we hide our light. Every time we decide here and here to say yes to the Lord. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. It's interesting to know before Jesus, how he was led by the Spirit, he was in the midst of. Before we had that moment of the enemy, it was the first thing that you see happening. He said, you want to teach something? Or make a really weak investment so that you finally die? Stop reading it. You want to mortify the deeds of your flesh? Stop giving it food. Stop nourishing it. And I'm not talking about physically nourishing. Stop lying. Stop deceiving. Stop stealing. Stop ignoring the word of God. Stop ignoring your faith. Stop not serving Jesus Christ every opportunity you can, because the more you say no to the Spirit, the easier it is to say yes. Now, Brother's asking, you know, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing that, you're doing that. You know, when does it stop? I said, when I finally paid Jesus for everything he's done. But that's not going to happen.
So be it. You're a smart guy. Figure that one.
Right? The more you do for him, other people, I get this question all the time.
What spiritual you guess?
Well, when you know. Maybe. Well, what do you do in the assembly? On a consistent basis, how do you serve your brothers and sisters? How do you serve your brothers and sisters outside of the assembly? What actions do you do to gain the gospel to those who live? No. I can't tell you what you get. When you become busy and other people start saying, you know, you should really think about the Holy Spirit is in every single believer. And when you begin to serve, when you begin to say yes to the Spirit, and you begin to say no to that recliner, that lazy one, you say no to the flesh, and you say yes to God, it becomes easier too. The more you say yes to the Spirit of the living God, the more you say no to the flesh, it gets easier and easier to get there. And you begin to see the difference. Anybody knows we're going to be gentle to me? People that work out, they say when they don't work out, that they can faint. They said that it's almost instantaneous. They stop working out. They said they feel sluggish and tired, and they don't have as much energy and all the rest of it. And that kind of makes biological sense. It makes sense. If you don't use it, you lose it. That's the way it goes. You don't have to trust. Once it was here, it's the same thing in spiritual warfare. You want to start flexing your spiritual muscles. And I don't care how young you are, I don't care how old you are, the same Holy Spirit that is in a believer that is not you is the same Holy Spirit that's in a believer that is you. And He can use you if you say yes, on everybody who's serving the baby. We have to close the door. I'm just saying, it's the same concept. You will live, is what the word says. You will live. You have people in Christ. Say yes to the Spirit. Allow the Spirit to use you, to strengthen you, to enlighten you in the Word of God. You will begin to notice the change. You will begin to notice the strength. You will begin to notice the vitality of the things when you're walking in the Spirit. Listen, Jesus Christ Himself, the Savior of the world, God manifested in the flesh, was instilled in the Holy Spirit, and He was really saying, even as the Holy Spirit did not know that we have to be on the Spirit's business. Didn't you know? And when you walk, it becomes addicting. It's awesome. This is the only place where we see live pain. Handwork? I don't know if there's a lot of ministers out there. I love to see young people, you know, speakers speaking, and all of a sudden you're looking around and you have it, and you see who's talking. And then maybe even after years, that little kid, and they get saved, and they become a counselor, and they become a parent. Why? Because they exercise their spiritual muscles by saying yes to the Spirit and those in the flesh. They live. There's no other life in God like this. I mean, every other life in this world is dependent on the direction. Think we all need to. You watch the news. Nothing good. But when you live with us, there's always something to look forward to. You don't even see that guy in heaven. What you do with your brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ will get me. We're going to be together. So isn't it just great? It's just loved. As the Lord Jesus Christ commanded. Life in Christ, there's nothing like it in the Spirit. Only in the Spirit of the Lord. That's the Spirit. Jesus says that I have said unto my Lord. You have to avail yourself of that resource. And what this game is trying to tell you, don't die. Live. Why do you choose to die? That doesn't make any sense. There's something fresh and wrong with you. Verse 15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry. Listen, if you know somebody that's ever adopted a child, it is a painful process. There's a brother that's actually doing another. His name is Joshua Poole. Josh and Abigail Poole. Please pray for him to work this in. Listen, I don't know two people that should be a mom and dad. They have chosen to go outside of the physical circle because of whatever for them. To give a child hope, not a child, not two children, not three children. They don't want to separate the siblings, so they're looking again. That is like parents go shock. But I know you can do it. That brother looks like sir. That brother is that guy has a little just oops in our head. You know, sometimes I go next to him just flecking for him, just to get a little bit of that. He's a loving. Just comes oozing out of him. The wonderful thing to see. And he's trusted in God and he sees prayers and he's very adoption. And the Roman Empire, when Paul is writing this, you know, he's so good. In the sense that he knows the audience. You know, like the Roman adoption was serious business. So serious was it that it went through almost 14 different babies. And it required witnesses of the people that are giving up the child and the people that are adopting the child. Because the child will not just get your last name, he will be infused into your family. He will be infused into your family tree. Once the adoption process is complete, there is no difference between you and the natural son. You will have the same next. You will have the same name, you will have the same privileges, and you will have the same in. That's serious business. You and me. Because I'm not Catholic. You will not have fair change. Even in the physical realm right now, they should never be thought of second nature. But the system does. Not the Roman Empire. They didn't think of it. Most of the time, when somebody wanted to adopt a child, saw the reason they're doing it, because that child was going to be a great man. They saw wisdom, they saw, I guess, respect, they saw obedience. They self-knowledge the Roman Empire and all its political stages, whatever it was going to be some sort of advantage to him. There goes the big difference. Because when I was a adult, it's a son of God. He couldn't have possibly looked at me and say, you know, he's going to do me so good today. He's a great man. He's got things that I can possibly use. He has things that I need. I want him on my every morning because he'll be advantageous to me. There's no reason. Listen, he demonstrated his love to us. Come on, be forgiven. I have nothing to offer you. I have nothing that I can offer to you. Whatever I have today, His kingdom is because the Holy Spirit has given it to me and has empowered me to do it. I am the Son of God. John was so enamored that in 1 John chapter 3, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should behold the children. Jesus called God his Father. They didn't even stone him to death. That was serious business. Why are you stoning me for the works that I didn't know? Because you make yourself not. That's what happens when we are adopted. The spirit of adoption makes us. That's the problem with misunderstanding. We think it's all about celebration and I'm saved and I'm living in hell. All these things are great and wonderful and true. But it's about regeneration. In the Old Testament, God wanted his people to properly represent him. He says in Leviticus, chapter 21, be holy as I am holy, be perfect as I am perfect, be holy because I am the Lord, thank God. Constantly calling his people, you need to be like me. You need to be like me. Well, we can't be like that in this world. So, that doesn't mean you stop trying. It's a matter of hope because you can be holy. It says that this is our ultimate goal, to be like Christ. And it's only for you to stop and be Christ. The exact representation of God's image. And we are supposed to be conformed like him, you know, exactly. By God, we have 250 different kinds of things to hear this truth. And they're very difficult in the world because they can't be able to get into influence. What is the hundreds of conferences that have been created by psychology, the deduction, and that question still hasn't been answered. How do you know we are here? Who is normal? I'm a basket case, so they can't use me. Who is normal? What is normal? You have. God tells you what you need to be, and he tells you where to go when you look exactly. What pleasure, what more pleasure can God possibly have than to look at you and say, you know? And Jesus has written all of it, spit into my soul. And you can do it. But you gotta tap into it. If you want to be like Christ, I told you in the first second, him and the Holy Spirit were inseparable. You want to be more like Jesus. You want to live in the Spirit. You have to look at the life of Christ and look at how he surrendered himself to the power of God and pray that the Lord will constantly, that the Spirit of God constantly guide you and lead you into the battle. That he will give you the power to the food basket of the Holy Spirit. Because there are a few things in our basket that we don't have to be able to do. Some of them don't support you in your patience. You don't have to be kind to be typical. Lose patience. I'm not as long as suffering as I should be. And look at should be. I'm not as long as suffering as I do. And look at how we dealt with this critic and the people in the most critical situation Jesus is calling to use. And answer them wisely. I want that kind of kindness. I want that kind of gentleness. It's like a place in a china shop. Sometimes I'm just not gentle. I want to be. I desire to be, not aspire to. Richie is what you see. He's Jesus. And I pray that to you. Heavenly Father, we think of these lessons here in the first chapter.
so opposite. The flesh comes to death. Man, when we walk in it, we die spiritually. Lord, but when we walk in the Spirit, we become more like Jesus, who was inseparable to the Holy Spirit. We want to be like that. We want to live through. We want to be a good testimony. Lord, whatever it is you told us to do, we want to do, Lord God. We want to walk in the Spirit, live through this precious little time that we have left in this world. Help us, Lord God, to live the years that you have allotted to us in a way that we bring your Son glory in the Spirit. In Jesus' name.